It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best, busiest 60 minutes of your day, the Wednesday Homer Hour with Rain Man. Caller number 5, 1-800-990-3776. You could win Cousin Subs for a year. Our competition runs now until the end of the year. 1-800-990-3776. Our Rain Man competition, then Jason Wilde, then Tim Van Voren. Oh, baby, what a good show. The Cousin Subs are contestant because Cousin Subs is so nice. I have stated that if you really stink, you shouldn't win anything. Or maybe you win like $2. So no, Cousin Subs, whichever contestant, regardless of how bad they are, we had someone who was an offer, they automatically get a $25 gift card from Cousin Subs. By the way, the Brewers lost, so they beat the Cubs 2 out of 3. Day off. Trading deadline. 5 o'clock tomorrow. I don't have any idea what they're going to do. I think they're pretty happy with the team. They've got some people injured coming back. I guess they'll make a move. And whatever they do, I approve. Back to Rain Man. So caller number 5, 1-800-990-3776. If you didn't get in, you're too late now. We have a contestant, Justin, in Milwaukee. And again, Cousin Sub says Justin gets $25, a $25 gift card, even if he stinks. I don't know that he does, but it doesn't matter. And he potentially could win Cousin Subs for a year if he has the most in our 15 questions, 2 minutes. What do we have so far, Pebble? Who are the leaders?
Just 7, I believe, with his Matt and Tosa.
Matt and Tosa. The only person who cannot compete is the leader, Matt, or if people tied him, then anybody who is the lead or a leader cannot compete until someone passes them, then they're back in. So, Rain Man is brought to you by Cousin Subs for the $25 gift card and the championship award, Cousin Subs for a year. And Rain Man is also brought to you by Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service. Though they deserve better, and I now mentioned appropriately, Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service because they've been doing it well for over 50 years. The complications of employee benefits and all the different factors, complicated maybe to you, not to them, after 50, more than 50 years of excellence. And Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits, top-notch service, and doing it well over 50 years. A phone number you can remember, just 783. I don't know. I haven't figured out how to remember 783, but everybody can remember three numbers. 262-783. Roger Maris, Roger Maris, 6161.
That number again, 262-783-6161.
Joining us now is Justin in Milwaukee. Justin, good afternoon. I want to know your Rain Man resume, please.
Good afternoon, Homer. I've played a few times. I've done as good as 5 out of 15, so right. Not the best.
Do you specialize in any one particular sport or team? It will not help you because the questions have already been. It will make me wonder how well you might do.
Slightly better in football and basketball than I am at baseball.
Okay. The first question is the Saganiac Planning Marquette trivia question because Saganiac Planning has been so supportive of Marquette for so many years. You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
We tell everybody don't fiddle and diddle and pass, but they never listen to us, do they, Pebble?
Never, ever.
I mean, never, ever. The first question, the Saganiac Planning Marquette trivia question, 3-2-1 gold. How old is Shaka Smart, 48, 52, or 56?
52.
Incorrect. For what team did Ryan Sandberg play his first major league game?
Pass.
Name the most recent Brewer to be the third overall pick in the Major League Baseball June draft.
The Miz.
Incorrect. How old is Jordan Love?
26.
Correct. He led the NFL last season, 4,918 passing yards.
Matt Stafford.
Incorrect. Who has more career regular season touchdown passes, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Incorrect. Who has the most NFL career touchdown passes without a Super Bowl ring?
Dan Marino.
Incorrect. NFL quarterback with the most regular season touchdown passes in one season, 55.
Tom Brady.
Incorrect. He had the second ever NCAA tourney triple-double, and it included block shots.
Pass.
Football coach at Indiana University.
No clue. Pass.
Bill Russell played 13 years in the NBA. How many titles?
13.
Incorrect. In Michael Jordan's first year in the NBA, he was sixth in the MVP voting. What Bucks player was ahead of him, number five?
Sidney Moncrief?
Incorrect. Ryan Braun, Brewers record, career leader, 352 home runs. Who is number two?
Robin Young?
Correct. Who is the Brewers career leader, 1,406 RBIs?
Robin Young.
Correct. Who's the Brewers career leader, 307 batting average?
Well, I'm going to go Paul Molitor.
Incorrect, but a very good guess. Whoa, came on strong at the end. It was looking ugly. I got three with those two late finishes.
I got three as well.
All right. I think when you hear them, you will feel like, Justin, you should have maybe eight. All right. Got to check on this. I think I have it right. How old is Shaka Smart? 48, 52, or 56?
He's a young 48, I believe.
He is 48, I think. Look that up. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. I feel like I need to help Justin. Yes, 48. For what team did Ryan Sandberg play his first major league game?
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia Phillies, yes. He was traded by the Phillies to the Cubs, and one of the greatest trades ever for the Cubs. Name the most, and this hurts, Justin. If you listen to the damn show, it would be impossible not to know this. Do you agree with that, Pebble?
100%.
Yes. Name the most recent Brewer to be the third overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft. And I also blame all the announcers for the Brewers.
Andrew Vaughn.
I've listened to the Brewers games, all of them. They never mention it. It's like he doesn't want them. I don't know. Like the other two famous Brewers that were the third overall pick in the baseball draft. You know those, Justin? So three players in the history of the Brewers have been the third overall pick in the June amateur baseball draft. All right. Andrew Vaughn, and name the other two.
I'm going to say Robin Yount was one of them.
Yes, he is. Nicely done. And this other Brewer great was the third overall pick, I think, like 3 years later, two or three years later.
Molitor?
Yes. So shouldn't everybody know, everybody, you should walk on the street when you're done with this and say, hey, who's on the Brewers now that was the third overall pick of the draft, just like Paul Molitor and Robin Yount? That's what everybody should know about Andrew Vaughn. Because once you know that, then you're amazed, like, why would the White Sox trade him if he was that good? And the Brewers got nothing for him. What the hell is going on? Well, that isn't talked about much. I don't. Maybe he doesn't want to talk about it. All right, how old is Jordan Love? You got that? 26. He led the NFL last season, 4,918 passing yards.
Joe Burrow?
That is correct. Who has more career regular season touchdown passes? Brett Favre, 508. Aaron Rodgers, 503. I think that's right. You better look that up. I feel like I might be wrong here. This is a fabulous question because this quarterback has one more career touchdown pass than Dan Marino. Who has the most NFL career touchdown passes without a Super Bowl ring?
Warren Moon?
Nope. Phillip Rivers.
Oh.
I think Moon doesn't count because a lot of his were in the other
league.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers, 421, Marino, 420. You can win money on some of these. NFL quarterback with the most regular season touchdown passes, you should have known this, in one season, 55.
Peyton Manning?
Yes. This is my favorite question. I've said that about three times already. Because Dwayne Wade had a famous triple-double in the NCAA tourney. But it wasn't the first. It wasn't the second. It might have been the third. He had the second ever NCAA tourney triple-double, and it included block shots.
Shaquille O'Neal?
Shaquille O'Neal. Nicely done. 11 block shots, I think, against BYU. And I'm sure he had points and rebounds. Football coach at Indiana.
Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah, you got to learn that. It's hard to believe, Justin, but Indiana might actually be good. Bill Russell played in 13 years in the NBA. Say it again, Justin. You knew you were right. Said it right the
11.
Second. 11, yep. I felt better for you there. This is one of the more amazing questions ever. In Michael Jordan's first year in the NBA, he was sixth in the MVP voting. What Bucks player was fifth?
Terry Cummings?
Terry Cummings is correct. We should probably check the votes because it was Larry Bird over Magic Johnson, and they probably got all the votes, but about six. Ryan Braun, you got this. Brewers career leader, 352 home runs. Who was number two? Robin Yount still at 251. I would have thought that Fielder hit more, but not so. Career leader in RBIs, Robin Yount. Whenever there's a question career about the Brewers, Pebble, tell everybody who they should say.
Robin Yount.
Robin Yount. This one, people forget him because I don't know why they shouldn't. The team wasn't that good. Who is the Brewers' career leader, 307 batting?
Jeff Cirillo.
Jeff Cirillo is correct. All right, Justin, you got three. How many do you feel like you should have had? Well, you really had the Bill Russell, so we'll give you 3.7. How many do you think you should have gotten right?
Probably three more, but that's about it.
And so. You were a little unlucky. I mean, Favre Rogers, that's kind of a trick. But Shaka Smart, I admit, I thought he was 52. And I wrote the question. Damn, he's been coaching forever.
I Philip Rivers one.
Yes, is that not a good question? No, the best one is Terry Cummings. What Bucks player was higher in the MVP standings in Michael Jordan's rookie year than Jordan himself?
Yeah, and speak of that voting, Homer, like you mentioned, Larry Bird had 73 first-place votes, Magic had one, Cummings had two, and Jordan also had two.
Yeah, and then they have, what, you got other numbers on lower votes, and because they add up the number of total points or something.
Yeah, points, Bird had 763, Magic had 264, then Moses Malone, 218, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 206, Cummings, 138, Jordan, 134, and then it falls off to Bernard King at 70.
Yeah.
Actually, Sidney Moncrief was eighth.
Yeah. So that just shocks me. Things that you'll never believe true. Yes. One, because Terry Cummings was better than people think. And two, rookies get screwed in the MVP voting. Because I saw Michael Jordan play as a rookie, and he was really good even as a rookie. He probably should have been third, although Moses Malone's good. Any last word you want to leave us with, Justin? You're better than that, or that's how good you are? I get the feeling you'll try
again. Hopefully do better next time.
Yep, you get the $25. You did well enough, even by my standards, to get the $25 gift card, so I don't feel bad about saying that. Thanks for playing. Coming up later on, Jason Wilde, Tim Van Boren, I am next. The Wednesday Homer Hour, and yes, an amazing trivia question. Terry Cummings, more votes than Michael Jordan in Jordan's first year in the NBA. There is a dilemma that exists for the Brewers, and that is Andrew Vaughn has played like Aaron Judge for his time with the Brewers. But they know, Andrew Vaughn knows, Aaron Judge knows, and we all know what, Pebble? What do we all know about Andrew Vaughn?
Can he keep up?
No, he can't. He can't keep up. He's not that good. No, he was the third overall pick, so it's possible that he's figured something out or so that he could continue decently the rest of the season. But, again, he's performing at a level above Aaron Judge, who is having one of the great seasons in baseball, probably since back to Barry Bonds. And whatever Andrew Vaughn had done in the past, and if he had, he wouldn't have been available. And he wouldn't actually be playing, I don't think, except for the injury, because they picked him up and then sent him to the minors. But he's playing at that level. And yes, it's only a few games. You're the general manager of the Milwaukee Brewers. You know what? You know for sure. It's not going to continue. It could continue, but that's not the way you can bet. So do you just wait until your injured player comes back? You're going to ride it as long as you can. I don't even know how many games he has to struggle before you decide not to play him. But There are a number of unknowns, but it is not an unknown. He cannot continue this way for the rest of the regular season. You could say that about Aaron Judge. It's unlikely. And Vaughn has, or they felt he had, the talent to be able to be very good as the third overall pick and the college baseball player of the year. I still don't know, and no one's talked about what happened. I use this stat, OPS plus. You don't even need to know what it means, but it's a batting stat. The one that I think's the best, because 100 is average. That means you're doing average compared to all the other hitters in baseball. Andrew Young's career number is 100. And he had a couple pretty good years with the White Sox where he got up to 111. This year, you can look it up. This year, for the White Sox, 100 is average. He was 47. 47 is probably what pitchers used to have when they got to bat. And since then, with the Brewers, going into today's game, I think he was at 234. And that's 234 is one of the great Babe Ruth years. And I'm sure if I looked up Barry Bonds, I'm not sure even Barry Bonds got that high in one year. And of course it's for a shorter period, and of course it's not going to continue. But now, what do you decide to do? Do you run him as long as you can? And then, or do you get somebody else? I mean, you're going to keep playing him. I don't know how many at-bats.
Bonds' highest OPS plus was 268 in 2002.
Right, and I think the highest from Babe Ruth was 250-something. Yeah, 268. And part of that was, you'd have looked at Barry Bonds, when he wasn't hitting home runs, was drawing walks. Just like never made an out. I don't know what his career is. Babe Ruth's is like 219 or something.
Bonds' career OPS plus is 182.
Right. So you're saying Barry Bonds, Aaron Judge, Babe Ruth, and Andrew Vaughn. What? No, it can't continue. I mean, I guess you're not saying it's going to continue for a career. I think it's impossible to believe that it's going to continue for the rest of the season. I don't know how long it goes. So now what do you do? I don't know. I would look to have somebody, but how good is the person I get? And is it likely that even though Andrew Vaughn won't be as good as he is now, that he still might hit as well? Do I got to get like a star, some old person who's a star, and I don't want to give up what I have to give up because I still have him, and I should know the guy's name. It starts with an H. Who's the guy? Ryan?
Oh, Reese Hoskins?
Oh, Reese Hoskins. Yeah. So I think this is true that if Reese Hoskins hadn't gotten hurt, they would have never have brought Vaughn up. He'd still be in the minors. So Reese Hoskins gets hurt, and I think he's coming back soon. So are you going to pick up anybody in a trade better than Reese Hoskins? Probably not. Oh, it's a nice problem to have, but it's a problem. What would you do in terms of knowing that there's no way Andrew Vaughn can continue where he's at now? Not because you're saying he stinks, because he clearly has some potential, having been the third overall pick, but this is off the charts. Someone can look and see if you can ever find a player with numbers so different the same year. Again, with the White Sox, 100 is average. He was 47. And with the Brewers, he was 234 into today?
Yeah, it's 234, correct.
Yeah, it'll go down a little bit. 234. You have to be Babe Ruth. And imagine this, because it speaks to Aaron Judge, how good he is, because you realize how great Andrew Vaughn is playing. Judge is doing that for the whole year. And he's at a historic elite level. That's what Andrew Vaughn, historic elite level for a guy with 100 average who was 47. And My only disappointment is that it may be that they just don't want to talk about it, but that isn't a discussion. They just don't seem to want to bring it up. One, third overall pick. Two, how incredibly bad he was. For his first call, I mean, he was with the White Sox for, I think, three. So he's in 2019, three or maybe three and a half, four and a half, three and a half. But he was 110, 109, 99. It is just an average player. Not what you'd want with a third overall pick, but not like horrible. And then he goes to horrible. And I feel like I want to call the White Sox, somebody with him, say, what happened? And to be fair to him, because like the start of this year, or given what the Brewers did, he was, I'm sure, to the White Sox like Tony Mandrich. Well, even, you know, you'd give up on Tony Mandrich, you'd trade him for, you just don't think he's any good anymore. You never thought he would play, that Vaughn would play like this, but the Brewers didn't have to give up anything. White Sox wanted to clearly get rid of him. And even though it was the third overall pick, he was so bad. You know, as I said with coaches, it's one thing to be bad. It's another thing to embarrass. And his play was so bad that I'm sure he was embarrassing the organization as a third overall pick. And when I've heard him interviewed, he doesn't really want to talk about it much. He doesn't really, to me, want to say anything. Hey, I'm just trying to make a hit. And I don't know if that's because the way he feels after being so bad, or now, did he ever think this would happen given how bad things had gotten, or that it would, did he ever think he could be this good? And then I would call the people at Cal Berkeley, because arguably one of the greatest athletes ever there, the baseball college baseball player of the year, a better athlete at Cal than Aaron Rodgers. So. And I have obsessed on it because I'm amazed how many people don't know it. How can you not know how incredible his story is, given, one, how high he was drafted, and two, how pathetic he got, and how amazing he's gone from there? I got to look at, find me a player whose OPS plus was 40-something. I don't know if we did. Who was a pitcher for the Brewers that was really bad? And then he's gone from that to Aaron Judge or to Barry Bonds. And again, one of, not just Barry Bonds, one of Bonds' best season, or one of Babe Ruth's best seasons. We'll look that up in the break. I wanted to say Jerry Augustine is a hitter. We'll look up Jerry Augustine's hitting stats. 94, which was the fastest he threw. And as friend of show, I have no idea how he was as a hitter. But I think I'm right that Andrew Vaughn was like 47, I think, with the, when 100's average, 47 with the White Sox. Understandably, they didn't give him much time. Jason Wilde, along with what Andrew Vaughn was this year before he joined the Brewers and became Aaron Judge. Jason Wilde on the Pack next.
We're listening to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Everybody needs Jason Wilde every day of the year. Do want to mention, tune in to Behind the Bucks podcast on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and H&R Benefits Consultant. Behind the Bucks brings you exclusive access and untold stories about the greatest stars and moments in Bucks history. Go behind the scenes of Giannis, Emmy-nominated documentary, hear about the true origins of Bucks in Six and more. And that more should be in Michael Jordan's first year in the NBA. What member of the Milwaukee Bucks had more MVP votes than Jordan? We'll ask Jason Wilde in a second. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcast, Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher. Good evening, Jason.
Sidney Moncrief?
Try again.
Paul Molcheski.
Nicely done. Fred Roberts is also not correct. Moncrief was in the voting.
He was eighth.
He was eighth. Jordan was sixth. This Bucks player was fifth. See, this is what happens. They just forget. This is like a Don Hutson. Can people not?
Well, no. I'm trying to think. Is that after the Marcus Johnson trade? So would it be Terry Cummings?
Terry Cummings is correct. Nice, nice a little throw in that toss there, because that trade really helped the Bucks maintain their excellence. Because, yes, Terry Cummings came, and I think was Ricky Pierce, Craig Hodges maybe also a part of that? I'm not sure.
I thought Craig Hodges was a different trade.
But again, nicely done.
I was young, and you were younger than you are now.
Yeah. Yeah, Terry Cummings is pretty good. He was the second overall pick in the NBA draft. All right, here's my other question for you from our Rain Man. Who has the most NFL career touchdown passes without a Super Bowl ring?
Dan Marino.
Dan Marino has 420 career touchdown passes. The correct answer is 421 touchdown passes.
421?
Yep. I don't believe he ever even made a Super Bowl. He's more current than Marino. This isn't like a Philip Rivers.
Oh yeah, okay. There you go.
Which, see, if you don't get the Super Bowl, people just forget you. I think you just got to have your, like, Burrow is part of the, you know, and he's a good player, but you know he was there, so that adds a little juice, doesn't it?
Yes, it definitely does.
All right. I want to discuss, because we haven't discussed it, you have other people, Nate Hobbs. I said, based on what Brian Bulaya was talking about, I could have cut him after what he did. But I know that's...
What he
cut under a running back, right?
Well, I mean, he hit him low.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he didn't take him out at the legs or at the, like, the ankles. He hit him just above the above the knee, quadriceps area.
My source, again, Brian Bulaga, said he's never saw that once in training camp.
Yeah, again, I'm fascinated by the, I don't know what to call it, the Rorschach test of how people view this. And if you are like Steve the Homer True and believe that Matt LaFleur is soft, and this team is soft.
He is smart and soft. Please put it that way.
Yes, I know. You do say that. I know. But nevertheless, you do say, I'm not speaking it accurately. I'm just leaving out part of your
statement. Okay, I'll take it. I can live with it. Yes. It comes with the territory. Yeah. Yep.
So, if you're one of those folks who believes that and is frustrated by it,
mm-hmm.
then you look at this and go, why is LaFleur punishing a guy or criticizing a guy, or however you want to view it, that is bringing exactly what they need, right?
I mean, sir, I have an answer for you, and I don't have it. Well, no, when I hear what other players say, that there's a limit to what you can do, and you can have all that. And if they said, hey, it's no big deal, but it just seems that what he did is incredibly rare and risky, and it's football stupid. Like, I mean, it's clear yeah. that the running back could have gotten hurt. And what I would ask you is, what would the view be if he had done it to Jacobs? What would it be if he'd done exactly the same thing to Jacobs? What would the discussion
it would be? Yeah. It would be bad. I'm not denying that. But I think it's been very telling the way they have talked about it, because if you're one of those Packers fans that thinks that, oh, they're being too hard on a guy for being physical, I got news for you. They've largely excused it. And you know, Rich Bisaccia did it. Goody did it. And maybe LaFleur has been a little more critical of him. But they all said the same thing in different ways, which was, hey, we need to be more physical. We think that this is the way we can win a Super Bowl, go deeper in the playoffs. And in order to do that, we would rather have somebody who goes a little too far and have to rein them in than have them not go far enough. And we have to push them to be more physical. I mean, whether or not he's doing it appropriately is not the debate. He's gone across the line, just like what Rasheed Walker did at the end of that play yesterday with Kingsley and Igbaré also went over the line. But their thought is, we have not been close enough to the line for a while. We need to be closer to the line. And if that means we have some guys go over the line and the coach is going to get mad and people are going to get yelled at and they have to sit out a few series or take a lap, we're willing to risk that. Now, the other side of that equation, of course, is that by risking it, you're also putting players at risk if this continues to be a problem. But I'm telling you, Adam Stenovich, the offensive coordinator, who it was a guy on his side of the ball that got hurt, talked about this physicality thing too. I mean, I think, even though they won't admit it, I think that Philly game left an indelible mark on them. And we've already talked about how they changed the offensive line, all this other stuff. They've got to get their four-man rush going because that's something that the Eagles were great at. Like, I think they're not going to admit it because they would never want to say that they're reacting to one game. But I think that they feel like that was a winnable game if they had done A, B, and C. And it would appear that they're going to go all in on trying to be more like the Eagles in order to be what they think is a Super Bowl team.
Because, I would add, there's Detroit to begin with. But it was just Detroit, and you could say their coach is crazy, won't last. Now they're seeing the same approach by Philly, only they do it better. And can you get by both of them, which you will need to, in order to have success given the way they play? So, no, I'll accept that, but I will say this, and I'm sure they are, I'll be watching Hobbs very closely, not for how physical he plays, but how smart he plays, given what they want.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, I'm not saying that you deserve mulligans for guys, and I'm also skeptical on this. Oh, you know, if you look at the video, it looks like he actually pulls up with the groin injury before he gets hit. I'm not sure I believe that. I think Matt LaFleur said, the way Matt LaFleur said it, he certainly left room for interpretation of, well, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it actually was caused by it too. I don't know. But Goody was kind of absolving Hobbs. Because again, they have an agenda here. They want to be more physical. And I just don't think, you know, I'm really eager to see how well it works because, and I'm also eager to see, you know, like, I'm looking forward to tomorrow's practice because I want to see if they can figure out where the line is so they can be more physical without hurting their own players.
I think I would say yes because
you certainly hope so.
Well, no, and I don't believe that they thought they would have to address this, however physical they wanted the people to play. I did want to ask you about Rasheed Walker because I think this discussion and the way the teammates responded, can we all just say there's no battle for left tackle?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not willing to say that only because, you know, and it would require a collapse, I think, by Rasheed. I mean, you know, it probably didn't help that he did what he did yesterday. I mean, I'm sure it obviously made Matt LaFleur angry. But, no, I mean, I think he's the heavy favorite, as well he should be. Like, you know, I don't want to say concern, because I don't really care what they do. I really like Sheed, and I think he could get a raw deal if they did this. But, I mean, my concern was if they were going to basically, if it was a tie or it was Rasheed by a nose, that they were still going to give it to the first-round pick because he's a first-round pick and they got to get him on the field for the optics of it. I mean, I would have a problem with that. And I would hope so would not only Sheed, but everybody else. So, I don't think there's any at all harm in your first-round pick from last year being the sixth man. I just don't think that that's the indictment that you might think it is because you still have two more years before the fifth-year option. You got a full another year without having to decide on it. And you still have this season when, as much as you would love for all five of your chosen starting five.
It's not going to happen.
You're right. They're not all going to play all 17 games. So you're going to see more of Jordan Morgan. So I don't give away a guy's job just because you feel the pressure of getting your first-round pick on the field. Now, that said, it was interesting because the other guy they keep trying to give away his job is Sean Ryan, who's also in a contract year. And Stenovich said it today that now they have changed the paradigm, and now Jordan Morgan is competing at both right guard and at left tackle.
And am I fair? I think he could play any position. Is that if somebody goes down other than center, I'm assuming that he is the replacement. Jordan Morgan is the other replacement at all four of the spots. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. And I think that's what, and there, again, I don't think there's any harm in that. And I was talking to him the other day, you know, he was exclusively a left tackle in college. You know, Zach Tom and Elton Jenkins moved around. Like, Elton was a center for a period. He was a tackle for, like, and those two guys are, A, their two best offensive linemen, and B, they're most versatile guys. And it doesn't hurt for Jordan Morgan to learn to play more positions and get better at them so he can play whenever he gets an opportunity, wherever it is other than center. And you know, if something happens to Elton Jenkins, that he's still going to be the first one off the bench because they're going to move Sean Ryan over, and then he's going to go in at right guard. It's not like they're just going to say, oh, we're going to leave everybody where they are and put in Jacob Monk. If they believe in their best five, they obviously believe that Jordan Morgan is in the – it would be in the fifth spot moving from sixth once they suffer that injury.
And lastly, anything I should have asked and I didn't, basic information of something that's occurred.
Yeah, so something really interesting, and I'm going to write about it tonight, and I did a little TV thing for Channel 3 in Madison on it as well. They have a new coach, or a new coach's title. Their defensive quality control guy, Wendell Davis, is now the ball king because they feel like they did not force enough fumbles last year. Mm-hmm. And so they are making a very heavy emphasis on forcing more fumbles. And we all know the old NFL saying, you get what you emphasize. So they have made that a huge priority, and they're gunning for the NFL record for takeaways, which I don't think they're going to get because it's some outlandish number from the Old Testament. But what they definitely need to do is get more takeaways. And they finished fourth last year. So it's not like they were bad at it.
Most
but if they get even better at it, that could be a big deal.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Jason. What's the coach's name again? What is it? Ball guy?
Wendell Davis, a.k.a. Ball King.
Ball King. Very good. Thanks. Jason Wilde with Tim Van Voren next.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. The three most important letters in sports. Even better than those.
TVB.
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 It's Fox 6 sports director Tim Van Voren on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 sports. I just need stuff from the Tim Van Voren Scouting Bureau. Of course, three-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year, Hall of Fame wingman, and a winner of other awards that he hasn't told us about. TVB. Tell us what we should know based on all you've observed in recent days. What's at the top of your list?
Are you saying what sport, what team?
The Packers, of course. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm pretty sold on. You know, at one point we've talked about Kingsley Enagbare. I remain a believer in him. He was kind of brooding a little bit during an interview I did with him. I was kind of surprised, so I'm not sure where that, you know, and then obviously he was involved with the Rashid Walker thing, so I'm not sure what the attitude is there, but I think Enagbare has a big open door. And how about Lucas Van Ness showing up so far in camp? You know, that's a player that I think a lot of people have not been counting on for big things this season. You know, the Packers, you know, made some staff changes and maintained belief in Van Ness. That would be someone who would be a bit of an, I don't want to say an X factor, but a bit of a surprise if his play steps up.
Well, but has he shown you anything? My issue with him is he's got one move right through the guy, and that's not good enough. He's not strong enough to do anything special with only that move. Where am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong in what he's shown so far. Obviously, that's part of why they made some changes. They're trying to diversify a guy like that's repertoire, because you're right. He's strong. He's got that move. And you know, he's young enough and he works hard enough, but you need to have something else to do as a counter. Yeah. I think he's shown up a little bit. I think Tyron Hopper, you know, I don't want to my Hopper, you know, advocate forever, but, you know, I think I maintain that he has an opportunity, and the Simmons out there, and you see why people are so excited about him.
I'm not buying it.
You just have to have questions with it.
Well, to have something fundamentally terrible to have been a disappointment the way he has been, given, one, what people have seen, and obviously that would be why he was drafted so early.
It's certainly, you know, he's all the measurables, and does flash when you're watching. You say, oh, there's 28 again. So he does flash, but there's some check mark there, right? Some red flag that's. You put him in the category that he's in. There has to be. So I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe all complete career rebirth in Green Bay. We'll see. But on measurables and physical ability, certainly he's a guy that you can't help but notice out there. I'm looking forward to family night on Saturday night. I mean, you know, it's not what it once was. It's much more controlled than it once was. But it is different than just a practice out on the practice field.
Do you buy this? We want to be more aggressive and more physical. What do you believe the coaching staff has said, and what have you seen that's reflective of that?
Well, when you sign Aaron Banks, it's obvious that you're trying to maul people up front. You know, the Packers did not make a lot of big moves in the offseason. The biggest one they made was for a guard that I would venture to say 80% of Packer fans didn't even know.
I'm one of those.
Before they signed this guy. Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, you're asking me what have they shown. Well, that's what they've shown as an organization. They went out and signed they have a first-round draft choice on the offensive line, Homer, and a second-round draft choice, first round from last year, second round from this year, who don't project as starters. And not because they're not talented. It's because there's a lot of beef on that offensive line. So, yes, I do believe that they intend to be a more physical team. But I would also say you invest in two wide receivers in the top three rounds this year, including a real burner. You know, it's not going to be ground and pound. They're trying to weaponize Jordan Love with as many places to go offensively as possible on the ground or through the air. And then they want to see what that turns out to be.
All right.
Don't turn the football over.
Yes. Now we have Nate Hobbs, 45 seconds. How stupid was it? How should people evaluate? I said there are some GMs that might have fired him and cut him on the spot. Maybe that's old days. He gets a pass because they want him, need him. They want to be more physical. What? But I want to hear what TVV has to say about Nate Hobbs.
Are you talking about the entanglement with Marshawn Lloyd?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, now it comes out that the injury was a non-contact injury before Lloyd collided with
Hobbs. But what he did was stupid.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I've heard stories about chippiness and guys being disciplined in about 10 different camps this year. What is it now? Is that the new NFL thing? Everybody's going to be, you know, trying to make noise and
go over
the top in their training camps?
That will be the topic when we start with you next week, because we've run out of time. Finalysis trumps us both.
It should.
So more Nate Hobbs and more what you say, what's going on in the league. Next week, TVV, thanks.
See ya.
Finalysis, take it away. Lots to love, lots to-